Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, how is life? Is it going the way you planned it? Have you achieved the goals that you set for yourself years ago? Do you still have some goals to achieve? Are you happy and satisfied? Are you better off now than you were 10 years ago? Perhaps there would be a variety of answers to those questions if we were to take a poll of all of you. Some of you might say, well, we're just getting by. Some people would say, well, it would be nice to have twice the income that we have now. Someone else might say three or four times the income would be even better. Some would say we need to have a shiny new car. Or maybe you would like to have a new home. Some people might say, well, it would be nice if we just didn't have to worry about paying the bills. It would be nice if we could travel whenever we wanted to without worrying about the cost. It would be nice to buy whatever we want. And some of you would say, well, we have all the money we need, but we just don't know what to buy. That kind of begs the question, what is life all about? Anyway, in the Old Testament, we read from Ecclesiastes this morning. Solomon is considered to be the author of Ecclesiastes. He also wrote Proverbs and the Song of Solomon. He supposedly wrote the Song of Solomon in his sensual youth. He wrote Proverbs in middle age when he had beginning to achieve wisdom. And some would say that he wrote Ecclesiastes in his grumpy old age. I suppose my saying that I really like the book of Ecclesiastes suggests that I'm a grumpy old man. But I do like that book a lot. For a couple of reasons. First of all, it seems to address life to me the way I have experienced it. We struggle, we work hard at life, and then we wonder, what really have we accomplished? And there's a second reason that I like Ecclesiastes. It is this. Frequently, people accuse me of not smiling and having a stern or sad look on my face. Just ask Jerry. He points his camera at me, and my face immediately becomes stern and unphotogenic, especially. What you can't see from where you're sitting is a whiteboard right down here in this front pew. And not long after I had gotten here, somebody put a smiley face on it. And then sometime later, somebody wrote, "A smile is a frown turned upside down." But you see, there's justification for the sternness in my face in Ecclesiastes. Solomon says in chapter 3, we could translate it this way, "Indignation is better than laughter because a bad face is good for the heart." So I guess that means I have a good heart. Seriously, Ecclesiastes is a good book because it addresses life issues. Solomon describes life under the sun in terms that just seem to make sense to me and to a lot of you as well. I can read a chapter in Ecclesiastes and say, yes, that's right. But then I try to summarize it, and I just can't say it in the same words that Solomon uses. Solomon describes how we struggle with the life, with issues in life, with things that we think are important. And then he says all those things are meaningless, they're useless, or they're a vanity chasing after the wind. In the chapters leading up to today's reading, Solomon says that wisdom is meaningless. He says pleasures are meaningless. He says it doesn't matter if you're wise or foolish, we're all going to die anyway, and nobody will remember who we are anyhow. He says work is meaningless because we gain a lot through our work, and yet we leave what we have to someone else, and who knows what they will do with what we leave them. Well, there's not much good news there. So let's look at the gospel and see if there might be some good news there. Jesus says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who has wealth to get into heaven." And the reading goes on, "And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, 'Children, how difficult to enter the kingdom of God.'" Well, that doesn't sound like very good news either. And you might say, "Well, I'm not wealthy. I don't have to worry about that." Let's put our position in relative to the world in some kind of a comparison. Is there anyone here who doesn't have a refrigerator in their home? No hands go up. Only 17% of the world population has a refrigerator. That means you are part of 83%. Is there anyone here who does not have or has not had a car? You see, only 8.5% of the world's population has a car. And so by those standards, we are indeed wealthy. And what Jesus says almost makes it sound like, well, oh, if you got a car and a refrigerator, you can't get to heaven. The disciples also took concern at that. Peter, you'll recall, was a fisherman and he had fishing boats. That means that he had some wealth. And his response is, "What do you mean? We disciples have left everything. And we've left everything to follow you, Jesus. What's the deal here? How can it be that we can't get to heaven?" And then Jesus reassures them, saying, "There's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time." Now that sounds like good news. That sounds like a good deal, but then you might have to leave your family to follow Jesus. And while it's true that you might receive 100-fold blessings, that wouldn't be a very good idea. How easily we could take those words and make it sound like following Jesus means you're going to be rewarded 100-fold in this life. Just follow Jesus and life will be great and God will bless you. And there are preachers on TV today who will say that. But you say, "I already believe in Jesus. I come to church every Sunday. I do my best to live a Christian life. And yet, life is not always great for me. Bad things happen to me. I've lost a spouse or friends. I've lost my job. My retirement funds may not quite make it as long as I had hoped. Some would say I'm divorced. Others might say, we're just kind of barely getting by. What's the deal here? Where is the good news?" Let's hear all of what Jesus has to say here. He says, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters and so on for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, but with persecutions, and in the age to come, we will receive eternal life." So what are those 100-fold things he's talking about today? What does he mean by that? He's saying that Christians can expect to enjoy fellowship with brother Christians and sister Christians and mother Christians and be able to go to other lands and be accepted by those other believers. But notice that he immediately adds to that, "with persecutions." Life is not going to be all peaches and cream. But remember the final statement there that says, "and in the age to come, eternal life." The future reward that we will receive is even greater than that reward that we receive today. Jesus assures his disciples and in the process assures us that those answering the call to follow him will indeed be blessed. Remember that he said it's easier for a camel to pass through, or it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for someone with wealth to enter heaven. But he also says with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. We cannot get to heaven by ourselves or by anything that we do. If you look back, even Jesus in the prayer that he used in Gethsemane was this: Father, all things are possible with you. Remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And in Genesis 18, God says to Abram and Sarai, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a child. And in Jeremiah 32, God says, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for you, God. When God is included in our lives, then all things are possible. And even Solomon, in his negativeness, concludes his book with these words. The words of the wise are given by one shepherd, that would be Jesus. My son, be aware of anything else. The end of the matter is this: fear God and keep his commandments, for this whole is the whole duty of man. Without God, Solomon says, the world is meaningless. But with God, there is 100-fold blessings for us in this life, and many more times than 100 in the life to come. God provides enough for us in this world. I came across this story that describes that very well. A mother and daughter were sharing their last moments together at an airport. The daughter's departing plane was announced, and standing near the security gate, they hugged each other, and the mother said, I love you and I wish you enough. To which the daughter replied, Mom, our life together has been more than enough. Your love is all I ever needed. I wish enough to you too, Mom. They kissed and the daughter left. The mother walked over to the window where I was standing. I could see that she was almost in tears, tried not to intrude, but she seemed to welcome my asking, did you ever say goodbye to someone for the last time? Yes, I have, I replied. Forgive me for asking, but is this a forever goodbye? I'm old and she lives far away, the lady responded. I have challenges ahead, and the reality is that her next trip back will be for my funeral. When you were saying goodbye, I said, I heard you say, I wish you enough. May I ask what that means? Yes, she replied. When we said, I wish you enough, we were wanting the other person to have a life filled with just enough good things to sustain them. And then, turning toward me, she shared the following story, reciting it from memory. I wish you enough to keep the sun. I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright. I wish you enough rain so that you appreciate the sun more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit alive. I wish you enough pain so that the smallest joy in life seems much bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish you enough hellos to get you through that final goodbye. They say it takes a minute to find a special person, an hour to appreciate them, a day to love them, and an entire life to forget them. So today, my wish for you is that you have enough. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.